In the early 80s, designer Calvin Klein used gorgeous, muscular men to promote his underwear brand, turning an everyday undergarment into a sexualized fashion accessory that not only changed the way people think about underwear, but also how men look at their own bodies.
Today, we take a look at our sexy, intimate, and complicated relationship with underwear, how a basic necessity turned into a fashion statement, and just how smelly does underwear have to get before some Europeans reach for a new pair. Joining us is comedian Karma Nybarger to talk about underpants and how women have managed over the centuries to corral their boobies, from corsets to bullet bras to letting it all hang out.
Plus, is Faye Dunaway playing Joan Crawford like a Time Lord? Take our quiz and find out.
The hilarious and disturbing male breast milk videos on YouTube.
Heinz Ketchup pranks Chicago.
And a drag queen is upset she's losing work for supporting Trump.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Get closer. Closer to the microphone.
Closer.
I want you to get as close to the microphone as you can get.
You're going to eat my face.
I don't have to eat your face. I can devour your soul, girl. Girl, listen to me.
Ooh, good. Know,
Eartha Kitt as a... What is that? She plays the
Hannibal
witch.
Hannibal Lecter?
No, she plays the witch in the...
Ismail and Prue, something or other.
Look at me, girl.
Alasinka, what was it?
Pull the lever. Wrong lever.
I gotta see that. I haven't seen it.
It's one of Eartha Kitt's greatest last things she ever did.
I'm gonna watch it.
Emperor's New Groove.
Is it really?
It is. It was one of the great films that I've done. You know, Obama and Eartha Kitt both talk in the same way. They go very fast and then very slow to drive their point home.
I never noticed that.
It's true.
I feel dumb.
You do? Well, that's why you listen to Feast of Fun, starring me, Eartha Kitt. On today's show, we're going to do about catnip growing in your garden, getting even with your exes, and how to put a voodoo curse on those who have wronged you. And then we'll talk about the Vietnam War. If you really want to beautify America, you bring back our boys from the war. For the children don't feel like they have their lives are worth a damn. Hi, everybody. It's more Feast of Fun. Our guest today is the delightful Karma Nybarger, who isn't wearing any panties.
How do we know that?
I just wanted to say that. Are you wearing panties?
I am.
What color are they?
I think they're pink.
Aww, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Thank you.
Well, there's a new study that reveals that Europeans, and this is not a big of a shock, about once a week wash their underwear or change their underwear, while Americans change their underwear every single day. And Mormons change it every 5 minutes. Mm.
Well, the study actually says that like 4% of French guys wear their underwear for at least 6 times before washing it. And then also, too, that they and 18% of British men say that they wear their underwear for many, many times before they wash it. And French guys, like 20%, will wear it for a few days before they wash it. So it's kind of like, but so the six days, like almost a full week, that's pretty gross. But that's only 4% of them do that.
I don't know. You know, it's like on those hookup apps, some guys are like, I want you to not bathe for a week before we meet up because I want to smell you rank and stink.
Oh, yeah. They're like that. Or like you're at the gym, you're chatting with them online, like, don't shower when you come over. And you're always just like, okay, but you shower anyway, because they say they want you smelly. They don't really want you smelly.
Yeah, I think that's just a lie that they say.
Yeah, it's something that they want. They want to think that you're like hot from the gym. Because the other thing, though, too, is like, okay, I might be working on the gym, but I haven't showered today either. So it's just like you're getting a whole mix of not just clean sweat, but other things as well.
I have been standing next to men and, you know, their body odor like got me like, you are ravishingly delightful. Mm-hmm. You know, I do that
mm-hmm. with Mark every single day. But
you know. Let me smell those pits, man.
Yeah.
Ooh, really?
Lift up those. Oh yeah.
Some guys are really into pits and stink.
I like the stinky pits, especially stinky like pits? A hippie.
But I wonder
like
if
a hippie boy. Mm, baby.
I wonder if too in like in France if they don't like wash their underwear as much because they douche. Well, not douche. They
what
use, are they talking about? They wash themselves with the bidet.
Yeah. So maybe they're like, you know what? I'm already pretty clean. Yeah. You know, like they're washing their dicks like they wash their hands.
Do you wash your dick in a bidet?
Don't you wash everything?
I don't know.
Maybe you can shove it in there. So I grew up with a bidet. And for those of you guys who don't know, it's a water fountain that sprays water up your butt.
So you can either drink from it like a water fountain.
No, don't ever drink from it. And so we had a toilet, and then we had the bidet. And as kids, we had no idea what it was for.
Because you had poopy buttholes.
Our parents never showed us to use it. Like, the women knew how to use it because it, you know, clean out your stuff every month. You know what I'm saying? It's great for women.
Or even daily. It's
or
nice.
Daily, you know. Get a nice, clean feeling.
Yeah.
But isn't it also, like, is the water warm or is it cold?
I'm imagining cold.
You can, it's just like the faucet. You can put water and cold water, yeah.
Oh.
And so the thing about it is, like, as a kid, we used it as a urinal. And then we were like trying to rinse the water, but it just would spray up the pee right back at you.
And would it? Because I turned
it hit the ceiling.
I thought so. Yeah,
that's a lot of pressure.
And then as a teenager, I found out that I could, you know, basically get a very clean butthole. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I had no one to share it with.
Aww.
Oh no!
Except your finger.
I got horny.
Did anybody ever poop in the bidet?
Me. And I was fuck, I have to clean this up now. Because the bidet was like a sink, you know?
Yeah.
But now, so in the modern age.
Did you waffle stomp it down with your foot?
I did sometimes. I'd be like, try to take a stick and then shove the shit down the drain, you know? But, but in the modern age now, we have toilets with bidets built into them, so you can just swing the little pipe underneath and spray water up your butt or your cooter.
That sounds so nice.
Yeah. Bidets in Japan and a lot of other countries, they use bidets, but as Americans, we're like in the Stone Age and we just use the crapper the way it came out.
I know.
Well, we have good toilet paper here, though, too.
We do. Sometimes, you know, I'll get some wet ones.
Don't flush those down the thing.
No.
Always, even though they say they're flushable,
they're lying.
Don't ever flush them because those things can clog up your toilet like there's no tomorrow. Even if it says flushable, just throw it out.
Yep.
So there was this one guy who was on the Grindr, and he kept, when I was working out at the gym, he'd be like, hey, man, do you want to make $40? I was like, I like cash, you know. I'm, you know, what is that? Do I have to take my clothes off? No, he said, just take your dirty underwear and stick it in the mail slot of this person's house. And I'll come out in the back and give you $40. And so I was like, okay. So I went to the house and pretended to put it in, you know. And I said, okay, it's done. And he's just like, ha, 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 I hate that person. Fuck them. And, you know, fuck you. And, you know, it was basically like a prank.
Did you get any money?
No.
Oh, God.
But you had the same thing, right?
I had the same thing from him, too. And I kind of toyed with him a little bit. I was like, oh, this is the underwear guy because he wants to get revenge on somebody. So he wants people to stick underwear through the door. And I played with him a little bit. But then I just got tired. I was like, whatever. So I just blocked him. And then a few weeks later, he hit me up again, too. And I was just kind of like, oh, he's back.
I want to get the guy caught and call the police on him, you know, because he's probably tormenting this poor neighbor.
Yeah, but how many idiots are actually doing it?
It was me.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't actually go through with it, you know, because I smelled something funny, but I can see somebody who's not as skeptical as we are.
I always feel as though when people on those hookup apps offer you money for anything, it's usually they're just toying with you.
Exactly.
They're not really, because if they were legit wanted that kind of thing to happen, they would just go to the normal services like Backpage or something.
Mm-hmm.
Adam for Adam or Craigslist.
Stuff where they're like, hey, I'll pay you for this.
Yeah. Dudes, nudes, ooh. Boy Ahoy.
Well, they wouldn't be paying you on those.
Oh, but I love these names.
What is that one called? The it sounds
Planet
like a
Romeo.
Bee. Planet Romeo. There's a bee
growler.
Hunt. There's a, what is that, the one that's called
the Scruffs?
That has a B, Hornet.
Hornet.
Oh, that's what like it is. That one.
I think they're all out of business, Hornet. You know?
No, no, no.
Scruff, Grinder, Instagram, Christian Mingle. Jacked. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, Jacked. Yeah.
I think that they're regional and some places are more popular than others. You know, it depends on where you live in the world.
And so men's underwear has, I think, you know, we think of it as a universal thing as always being eroticized, but it was actually Calvin Klein, not too long ago, who decided to take our latent homosexuality and use it as a marketing tool to sell us premium priced men's underwear. And so Calvin Klein very cleverly ran an ad campaign and took these really erotic photos of men, very attractive men in their underwear, and slapped it on the label. And so in the 80s, as you know, gay teenage boys, we'd be like, "Mommy, I need new underwear." It's like, "Why can't you buy these jockeys?" But the Calvin Klein fit me better. And then so it would take the packaging in furiously.
But even before that, there was Jim Palmer, who's a baseball player. And he had, like, they'd show him, like, "I've colored underwear and stuff," which was kind of a novelty. Because before, it was always, you was either boxers or briefs, and those briefs were always, like, tidy whities.
Mm-hmm.
They were always white. Now, Calvin Klein, actually, his were tidy whities for the most part, but they were, like, different and sexy.
Yeah.
Well, they were made with thicker cotton material. It was a better weave. They were manufactured better, but, you know, for the price that you were paying for them, it was outrageous at the time.
Yeah, I just know about those, like, naked men. Not all the way naked, but, you know, like, without Calvin Klein, there would be no Ashton Kutcher.
That's true. Mm. And or Marky Mark, you know?
Exactly.
Or Mark Wahlberg, I guess is now his name.
Well, he's still Marky Mark to me.
And so Undergear, International Mail was a men's catalog dedicated to, you know, erotic photographs of men in their underwear and wearing all this, you know, gay shit that nobody would be caught dead. And so early on in the marketing of International Mail, they would send sample copies of the catalog to men who were using their credit cards up to a certain amount every year.
Mm.
And so my dad got it once, and I was like, it was like the big, wow.
Because it was hot, sexy guys, yeah, and little skippy underwear. And like one underwear that they had was just called the sock. And it was basically a sock that just covered your dick and it would have a string, like basically going around like a jock strap.
Yeah.
And it was like $3. So all sorts of gay boys all around the country would just send in like $3 cash. Because like who doesn't have like $3?
Yeah, everybody's gay. Yeah.
So you're like, oh, this sock. And people are like, I still have my sock today.
And so back in the day, you could send like, I think it was like $1. In an envelope to International Mail and subscribe to their catalog. And they would send you this catalog in the mail, and I would put my dad's name in it. So they, if it came to our house, people would be like, "Oh, Dad's so gay," you know. Like it would never. No one ever suspected it was me.
It was under the radar, though, because a lot of people, like, catalogs were a big thing back in the day. Mm-hmm. So like you could get something like that, and people wouldn't really realize it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, "Yoink!" And I would hide it in, you know, like the Bible or books that nobody read at our house. You know? I'd be like, "I'm going to be reading the Bible for a little while."
Your family's like, "Buster's really into the Bible these days." Very religious.
And then came Undergear, which was the rebranding of International Mail. And if, I think recently they went out of business, finally. They went online for a while in the early days of the podcast. Mm-hmm. We actually ran ads for them. Mm-hmm. Back when they, you know, people valued podcast advertising a lot. And so, you know, to me, it's very sad that International Mail as a brand, but like Soloflex.
Maybe it'll come back.
Maybe somebody needs to buy that brand and relaunch it or something. But then, you know, in the 90s and you know, in the recent years, you had like Andrew Christian and Ginch Gonch and other sort of, you know, lifestyle brands that create very colorful, very vivid designs and hiring sex workers or porn stars to market their brand. And so it's interesting to see, you know, these kind of intentionally gay lifestyle brands of men's underwear using physique models on Instagram to market their wares. And it seems like it's a really successful business model.
Well, yeah, because sex sells and people buy it. And it's like the underwear is really kind of inexpensive to produce. And so you can get a pretty good high markup on it.
Yeah, we even had our audience ask us, like, why don't you sell underwear?
Yeah, maybe we should. Don't you?
Will you help me sew some underwear?
Yeah.
Are you good at sewing?
I can stitch.
You can?
Yeah, I can. I stitched up a pillow the other day.
Did you really?
I did. It's cute.
Aww. What color was it?
All kinds.
Oh, really?
It was red, blue, orange. Yes. Yeah. Very quilty. Very Raggedy Ann looking.
Should we make some quilt-themed men's underwear?
Well, in the last season of Orange is the New Black, women's underwear was a big plot line.
Right.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah.
Because the lead character started running an off on the side business of taking, because there were women were manufacturing underwear in the prison, and she decided to take the scraps and make extra pairs and have the women wearing them. So they were selling dirty women's underwear online. Mm-hmm. Her brother was helping run the business, and she was making good cash.
You always hear stories about people that are like running that side business is like dirty underwear and people buying it, but do they really make that much money from it?
How many
pervos want to really smell some dirty underwear?
We've offered our audience, we'll wear anything and sell it to you, and only one audience member actually did that. Took advantage in 13 years. Wear the t-shirt to the gym. It was a Feast of Fun t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And then get it nice and sweaty and put it in the mail. And I did. Aww. And he paid $100 for it.
He sounds like a real sweetheart.
He's
great.
He was
great. To get a new t-shirt, and you can get that at feastoffun.com/store. Ding! Women's undergarments, too, have kind of changed a lot over the years, too, because, back in the days, what happened, before bras, women used to just, tie them down with, a cloth.
Yeah, just strap them down and off you go.
And in medieval times, in Renaissance times, young girls who were virgins, their dresses would just have their breasts exposed. So they'd be walking around, hanging around in the palace, their tits just out. But once the cherry got broken and were married, then it's like...
Tits in.
Yeah, tits in. Virgin.
Tits out.
Non-virgin.
Tits in.
Well, you look at medieval paintings Hieronymus Bosch.
Yeah.
I always said Bosch.
You could see that design aesthetic, a woman hanging out with her tits out in their dresses.
And then it kind of went into the corsets, and so they'd have so it was all one kind of thing.
Right, and then you'd have a little bit of areola picking out.
Yeah, the tits were pushed high. And then in the Victorian times, though, they had a concept of something called the uniboob.
Right.
And so the boob was all pushed forward and then into one giant, one boob. The idea was to kind of make it look like you didn't want two separate, bullet bra kind of boobs. You wanted it all smushed together.
Huh.
And then eventually people were like, these corsets kind of suck because they're constricting.
Yeah, they would change your ribs, your whole mm-hmm. infrastructure of your body.
And it shoved your liver into your into your hips.
And people died from it.
Yeah.
And so then one brilliant woman came up to the idea and said, hey, why don't we just separate these things? And so she, they came up with a brassiere. And the bra was not invented by Otto Titzlinger, even though Trivial Pursuit says it was.
Really?
Yeah, he's a fictional character. But Trivial Pursuit thought he was an actual real person.
Oh, trivial.
Who's Otto Titzlinger?
You've never heard of Otto Titzlinger?
I've never heard of him.
Is that they're like, that's what the... George Crapper invented the crapper. Otto Titzlinger invented the tits.
It was a fictional character in a book from Bust Up, The Uplifting Tale of Otto Titzling. And so it was like the Titzlinger because it was like his tits slinging tits.
Yeah, he's just slinging tits.
Yeah, and so so it got really picked up in popular culture and people actually believed that it was like a real thing.
Oh, people.
Well, I'm sure the word tit hasn't referred to women's breasts all throughout history.
Well, teat is from an animal.
Because there's a tit mouse, and every time you were in school and someone says a tit mouse, everyone goes... And they say, what are you, 5? And I'm like, no, more like 8 inches.
Oh!
I had to get that joke in, sorry. So but what about the bras? And so Victoria's Secret in the 80s remarketed just Calvin Klein and had very unusual colors and very lavish underwear. And so the idea of women buying underwear for their own pleasure and not for anybody else became a marketing strategy.
Well, it was also, they say, it was started by a guy who didn't feel comfortable going into like a woman's department store and buying stuff for his wife. So he wanted like a lingerie store. And of course, it was already like Fredericks of Hollywood and stuff. But that stuff was always like really sleazy. And so they wanted something that was kind of good quality thing.
And so Victoria's Secret got but women, high-end, you know, women's underwear into the malls of America. Yeah. And so women were like, there's a sale at Victoria's Secret. Three bras for $40. Which, you know, underwear shouldn't cost a lot of money, but...
Yeah, bras have a lot of weird components, though, and... I don't know. If you ever go to those bra shops, they're like, it's like an architectural wonder, your bra. And you're like,
well, and the fashion changes over time, too. You know, you go from the Victorian mono boob, and then they kind of came up with this girdle concept, which pushed everything forward. You're kind of like S-shaped body. And then the 20s, the flat was in, so the bras all tried to flatten you out. And then in the 40s, they came up with these bullet bras, which kind of look like Madonna's cone ones.
Yeah.
Because they were just like, hey, we've got two boobs here. Let's separate them and just and put them out there.
Well, it's hard to underestimate the impact of the resurgence in pinup girl culture and imagery. Yeah. Certainly like Betty Page and Dita Von Teese as a media personality, and Madonna's cone boobs from her Blonde Ambition tour had an impact on women's fashion.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And then the push-up bra came out in like 64. So that was like put them up high and make your tits as big as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, Fausto's sister has a good trick for boobs to make them bigger is to actually wear two bras at the same time.
What?
Like one with padding or like two with padding.
Yeah.
And so then it just kind of like fills them up.
Well, that's what drag queens do when they, you know, wear foam.
Yeah.
In their pantyhose, they wear two or three pairs of pantyhose to smooth everything out.
Mm. You know, Madonna's cone bra cost, they sold it at auction in 2012 for $52,000.
Girl, send some money my way, honey.
Yeah, no kidding.
Bras are but quite now, like, beautiful.
How do people, like, what's the idea? What do people do with their boobs now, Karma? Like, what's the fashion of boobs?
Let it hang, push it up, everything
goes. I got friends that go braless and they go proud braless. I got friends that wouldn't dream of it. I tried it once and it was just like, it gets so sweaty underneath my boobs. Like, it's just like...
Under boob sweat. I've heard of this under boob sweat.
It's just such an uncomfortable feeling. I'm like, I need something to soak.
Have you ever, like, for a while said, you know, fuck the patriarchy, I'm going braless?
One day.
You did, though, that. What was that experience like for that day?
Yeah, it was very sweaty, and one of my friends just looked at me real weird. She was like, you're crazy.
I think in 1989 and 1990, I met performance artist Tim Miller, and at that time, he was telling me in Los Angeles a trend very popular with gay men who were trying to smash the patriarchy, too, was to not wear underwear.
Mm. Oh, yeah, there was a commando trend in the 80s and 90s, for sure.
Going commando.
Yeah.
Let their balls hang low, let them waddle to and flow, let them tie them in a knot.
Throw them over your shoulder like a continental soldier.
Yeah, let your balls hang low.
Yeah, just throw them right over your shoulder.
And I tried that for a while, and it was just like, this is so painful.
Really?
Why was it painful?
Because my balls got, my nuts hits around, you know?
I feel like when you're wearing jeans, everything's okay to, like, kind of go commando, because, like, usually they're kind of tight-fitting, so everything's kind of, like, in there. But, like, if
maybe
you're just
with shorts,
like,
it's...
Depending on what kind of shorts it is, but the thing is, you just don't want them hanging. You don't want to leave them hanging, because they get, like, knocked around and jostled around, and...
I just don't know if puberty and growing up is equally traumatic for gay men... I'm sorry, for straight men, or cisgendered straight men, as it is for gay men. Because for a lot of gay men, you know, you go from being a teenager to being an adult... Suddenly, it's like your sexuality, your humanity is in question, and then you're looking at your genitals, and you're like, I want to reclaim some of the things that I lost. So a lot of, like, even to this day, guys 18, 19, 20 years old shave their nuts.
Mm.
And in my opinion, like, it's you know, you probably spread more disease. You probably, your balls stink more because the hair doesn't wick out the poop.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
The stank smell.
Although, I don't know, I think a lot of straight guys shave down there, too, because I have to say I was with an old girlfriend recently in my hometown of Pennsylvania, and I was
not sexually, but
there was like some bisexual guy hit on me, and so I was showing him like he wants to get together with me and his girlfriend, and she's just like, what, tell me more. Wow. You know, and so then she's like looking through the picture, she's like, wait a second, I recognize that. I'm like, yeah, that's why. She's like, why isn't it shaved? And I was just like, I don't shave. She's like, oh my god, you don't shave?
Disgusting. Dang,
I'm just like, and she's been with lots of straight guys, so I'm assuming a lot of straight guys do shave down there.
A lot of straight guys are shaving down there. It always kind of throws me off because I don't shave. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll be the man in the relationship.
It's a savanna down there. It's a wild jungle.
It's a silverback. Is that what you said?
I said it's a wild jungle.
You said a silverback. The silverback gorilla, that's funny.
I just wish that, you know, because the body hair, at least for men and probably for women, is kind of like the whiskers on a cat. It allows you to feel more things.
Mm-hmm.
And by clipping them or shaving them off completely, you turn yourself into a prickly cactus. And you just don't experience the world in the same way.
Yeah, you lose those whiskers.
But at the same time, there have been times where I'd shave my chest and it was very sensitive.
Oh.
And it's like made me horny. Tracy Tyler. Little shout out to Tracy Tyler. So I guess, what is it? Doctor Who has a new Time Lord.
Some people are freaking out.
And get ready.
Mm-hmm. It's a woman.
You got tits.
Mm-hmm. I know. And who knows? Maybe she'll have a baby too.
What?
So it's Jodie Whittaker is going to be the 13th Time Lord. See, originally I think they were only supposed to be like, he could only regenerate like 12 times, but that was canon for a while. But then they kind of like got rid of that because they're like, well, this character is just going to go on forever and ever and ever.
So is Doctor Who now gender neutral, or is Doctor Who like every now and then become a lady doctor? What's going on? Like, what's the gender thing?
So the gender is like when they regenerate, they can change like different genders or different races, whatever. They can appear much differently. They can be a redhead, they can be a brunette. And most recently, we saw the Master, who is the Doctor's nemesis through much of the series, come back as the Mistress. And so we're like, why is this woman so evil? And then we discover she's not the Master, she's the Mistress. And so I'm guessing that the new Doctor and the Mistress are going to go full on les. There's going to be, because there's always been a little bit of like some sexual tension between the Master, because the Master is like basically like a dungeon master. When you look at him in the old 80s ones, like you can see that he's very like, he's a very S&M kind of person.
I feel so sorry for all these like lesbian film festivals all around the country, because like Netflix with Orange is the New Black and every TV show, they not only go full les. Like there's a show with lesbian cops on it. Was it The Flash? Is it or one of the Marvel TV shows? There's a lesbian cop.
On Flash, there's a lesbian, you know,
cop police thing. Yeah,
kind of. Yeah.
Like, it seems every TV show has lesbian characters or full, like, Orange is the New Black is like softcore porn. Like, they're eating each other out.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, lesbian sex is not offensive. Like, straight guys like to see it. And women are just kind of like, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. But when it's like, when
sex is sex.
You know, boobies, everyone likes boobies. Straight guys like them. Women like them. Lesbian like them. And gay men like them too, you know. Yeah, everybody.
They're soft and non-threatening.
Yeah, everyone likes tits.
And listen, if you're hungry, sometimes they provide food.
Sometimes,
even on men, a lot more than a cock.
Google roided out muscle breast milk on YouTube.
Oh my god!
Yes, it's true.
It's one of my favorite videos to watch when I want a good laugh.
It'll freak people out.
It's this bodybuilder, and he has gynecomastia, bitch tits. I like sharing them. I like looking at them. Bitch tits. And he's squeezing his nipples and milk's coming out of them.
No way. Yes.
And it's amazing. It's so funny. And
no
stuff.
Way.
And we were like, we were, I think it was two listeners of the show, Noah and Harry. We were hanging out at an ice cream shop and we're talking about bitch tits, which is a great term for gynecomastia, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, milk, you know, probably there's a video on YouTube. And so we dug up this video and we were howling for like a whole hour about it.
Well, how, what do you Google to find it?
Bitch tits.
But with the milk, roided out?
I don't know. But listen, we're in the middle of taping a show. We can watch this later. I wanted to show it to her, though. Well, you kind of planned ahead.
Well, you didn't tell me.
It's okay. I'll show you after the show. Later, yeah. We'll put up a link on our site, feastoffun.com, so everybody can see the video. And you can watch the milk of the bitch tits.
Oh, my God.
I like looking at them. I like drinking them. I like saying it. Bitch tits. But anyways, back to the Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lady Doctor Who who's going to go Les for her companion, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, the mistress is not a companion. It's evil. Oh. So they're going to have evil lesbian sex.
I say Faye Dunaway, bring her back as Joan Crawford as a Time Lord villain. And this is the argument here. Ever since she did Mommy Dearest in 1981, Faye Dunaway pretty much played every character she did in the exact same way. You don't believe me? So we're going to play a little game here.
Okay.
So Karma, Liz, okay, and Mark.
Yeah.
These are the four movies, okay? So Joan Crawford starred as Mommy Dear. I'm sorry. Faye Dunaway starred as Joan Crawford in Mommy Dearest, 1981, as Evita Perón in 1981, as Serena Joy in The Handmaid's Tale in 1990, and as the evil witch Selena in the movie Supergirl. So these are this is a quotes from the movie, and you're going to tell me what movie they belonged in. Okay. All right, I want to see as little of you as possible. If I get trouble, I give trouble right back. Don't fuck with me.
This gotta be Handmaid's Tale, right?
Yay!
Yay!
Every time, why send a man to do a woman's job? And this is what you get? Damn those eyes. Who is she?
Are you asking me?
I'm telling you, go find out.
Well, sure, but I think you recognize the costume, don't you?
So what are our choices again?
What movie is this from?
Supergirl,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. That headline that the press wrote about me will make their readers' coffee freeze in their mouth. You know they haven't had the guts to mention me by my name. Cowards! Where is the article? Where is the article? They don't want to bury me in a church over my dead body.
Evita.
And last but not least, please don't go. Don't leave me here alone. Please.
If you're acting, you're wasting your time. If you're not, you're wasting mine.
I'm not acting. What movie is that?
Handmaid's what?
It's Mommy Dearest.
Mommy Dearest, yeah.
I thought you were going to do the...
Don't fuck with me, fellas. I say we made a hell of a match.
Yes. That one too.
Pretty much. And so you could splice all these movies together and make some... get really, because the Evita Perón, the actress who plays Carol Ann...
Mm-hmm.
Not Caroline. Caroline's the daughter, isn't it? In Mommy Dearest?
Caroline's the maid.
The maid. The cleaning lady.
The daughter.
So Caroline, the actress, she's also in Evita Perón and doing the exact same relationship to Evita Perón. And in Supergirl, where she plays the evil witch Selena, she also has a Caroline-like character. So it seems like a lot of these Hollywood filmmakers really liked Mommy Dearest. And so it's a four-part trilogy that... You know, Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford is traveling through time trying to wash her sins of child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And each time she gets reincarnated as a different
I need better
villain.
Drugs for my husband. No. You're a nurse. Can you prescribe some better drugs for him?
I cannot.
Can you get any drugs?
You know, you can order them online these days.
I don't know how to use that underground
thing, but one of my friends does. She buys all of her drugs online, and I'm like,
oh my God, I gotta go to her house and she has to show me.
Yeah.
Is she buying like crazy drugs?
I think just regular drugs. Like MDMA.
Like that drug that turns you into a crocodile in Russia.
Flaca, kraton, crocodile.
Yeah, not that stuff.
Don't take that, kids.
Yeah.
You'll turn into not a cool crocodile that surfs board. And
if you'd like to send us drugs, you can send us drugs to Feast of Fun at 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640.
Mark, I don't think they caught that address.
That's Feast of Fun at 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640. You can send us anything. You know, cards, letters,
chocolates.
Money.
If you want to basically poison us to death, just make a beautiful cake, because Mark will not be able to eat it.
Because I got a big web hosting or web development bill coming up that needs covering, too.
So. Oh, yeah. People may be wondering, it's like, what happened to your podcast last week? Well, we had a dispute with our file hosting provider. And that dispute has been resolved. But basically, we've been with them for 13 years, and then they changed their terms of service. So they had us move to a different part of their hosting and didn't provide us with good tech support, basically.
But the issue's been resolved,
and after many late nights of pulling my hair out and going gray, you know, I still look good when the light's on, baby, but but I just have less hair now. Teen Vogue is in hot water with right-wing Christians for talking about anal.
Ooh.
But didn't that used to be the new virginity?
Anal's the new virginity.
See, the thing is, like, with the evangelical Christians, a lot of the girls, they would have anal sex because they're like, I won't get pregnant.
I gotta save my vagina.
Yeah, for Jesus.
Yeah.
And stuff. And so it was a way to kind of like have fun and enjoy it, but without going like all the way in there, and because you don't want to get pregnant. The last thing you want to do is get pregnant, because if you can't go on the pill, if your parents find out, it'll just be hell to pay. But like a little butt sex, what does that matter?
Hey.
So Teen Vogue is out there. It's like, you know, we're teaching people, we're talking about sex, so we might as well talk about how to have good anal sex. Because listen, a lot of people, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, on either end, is like, a lot of people like butt sex.
It's not cheating if it's anal.
Well, for some people, it is cheating, especially if it's anal.
That should be a t-shirt.
And so a lot of people are really disgusted by it. But the guy who wrote the article is just like, you know, basically he sent a photo with like somebody giving them the finger with a little rainbow painted on the middle index finger, saying like, screw you. It's like kids need to learn about this kind of stuff, especially with like HIV infection just how to have a good time. Now, in my sex ed class in the 80s, I had a teacher, and she was a lesbian. We found out later. I kind of knew she was. But she mentioned anal sex as one of the things.
Wow.
Like, we all kind of giggled, and she's just like, you know, you kids laugh, but I know a lot of people that actually really like it. And we're all like, okay.
Very progressive.
I know. You know, it's weird how, like, it's like people can be progressive or conservative, and, like, things kind of go up and down. I feel as though we've had, like, you know, since the 2000s, that things have gotten really kind of more conservative. Like in the 80s and 90s and, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s, there was an element out there of like people that were like, let do anything you want. Now,
but not for our audience.
No,
our audience is wild. They are large and in charge, and they own their own orgasms.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I think that's awesome that Teen Vogue is like teaching kids how to have fun.
Well, they're also
sex.
Yeah, exactly, and it's also like they're at the forefront of a lot of stuff, because you know young kids are very open to new ideas, and they don't want to hear like old stodgy things that you know, that the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70 year olds are reading in the regular Vogue.
Well, abstinence only education results in the rise of STIs, rise of HIV infections, and unwanted pregnancies. And so if we really want to protect children, we need to educate them about sex and about condoms and about sexually transmitted infections. And the way to do that is to have sex education in all our schools. But you know, because corrupt politicians politicize sex education because it's an easy, controversial topic to latch onto, then they can continue, you know, getting rich off of poor people's backs and not actually do anything and keep getting elected because they're protecting America from us corrupt gays. Boo, you know.
Yeah, this moral superiority that comes out of nowhere.
But nobody's like looking at, say, you know, if you really want to reduce the number of abortions, maybe reduce the number of pregnancies.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, because none of that's the point. The point is to just make abortion illegal as a wedge issue so people can get elected.
Mm-hmm.
But honey, you know, in order to get abortion, you got to get pregnant first. Mm-hmm. And in order to get pregnant, you don't use condoms.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen up in here?
People still get pregnant with condoms. You just have to.
Well, the condom breaks or whatever. But I'm talking about, it's like there's documented evidence that when they do abstinence only education, abortions go up.
Well, and it's also a huge rise in STDs too, and STIs for sure.
Mm-hmm. So the same people, the same political party that claims to be against abortions is passing legislation that makes the number of abortions go up.
Yeah.
Well, because it's like the fog of war. They just want to just throw chaos everywhere so that these people just don't know which end is up.
Nobody's following the evidence.
And they can take control of the universe.
Mm-hmm. Bad guys. They're all bad guys.
What's going on with R. Kelly holding six women against their will in his home as sex slaves in a cult? Is this really happening?
Is he the new L. Ron Hubbard?
Maybe.
Well, you know, there's been rumors of him taking advantage of young women since, you know, for the past for the past 25 years. So it wouldn't surprise me. But one of the women came forward because I guess their family was like, we haven't talked to her. We haven't seen her. We don't know what's going on. And some people are saying that that, you know, these women come in and like they think, oh, I'm going to be like with, you know, R. Kelly and he's rich and he's famous. And I'm going to live this fabulous life. And then people are saying like these girls are like kind of like stuck there. They're prisoners. They have to like if they want to go out, they have to get permission. If they want something to eat, they have to get permission, all that kind of stuff. So it seems like it's a really controlling environment. But she came forward and she's just like, I'm fine. I'm here of my own free will. And don't worry about me. So
he's peeing on me and I like it. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to say that. I'll go back into the basement.
Well, I saw her and I was like, she looked a little older. So I don't know if his tastes are getting like an older woman now or if it's because it, like, you know, he was rumored to like young.
He's like, do what you want. Do what you want with my urine. That's a song that he collaborated with Lady Gaga, where the Lady Gaga was a video where she's unconscious in a hospital.
Oh, yeah. She stopped releasing that, right?
They stopped that, but they released it so everybody saw it. So, you know, but then they pulled it off the internet.
I know. What the hell was she thinking?
Do what you want. What you want, my body.
Probably on those, you know, internet drugs.
Oh,
the crocodile.
The crocodile.
The Gaga deal.
The Gaga deal.
What was she on?
She's on everything.
I know. She does party, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah. She likes the pot, the cocaines.
The meth, the heroin.
No, we don't know about that. But she's talking about marijuana and cocaine.
Show me the receipts. I need to see your drug receipts.
Yeah. Well, now people are saying, instead of saying show me the receipts, it's a show me the timestamps. Mm-hmm. Or I got the timestamps.
I got the timestamps. Because, you know, on Facebook and Twitter, and you can see what these times
came up. Kids these days, they're so cool.
So if we say something offensive.
I can say it too.
You can say, like, I've got timestamps. And people are like, karma's so cool.
People have used that against us, though.
What?
They'd be like, in this episode, Fausto said, timestamp, you know? And I was like, what? Whatever. Oh, it was all for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah.
I never meant anything that I said.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that Heinz Ketchup is trolling the city of Chicago?
No, what are they doing?
So you know how here in Chicago we have our Chicago dog.
Yeah.
Maybe many listeners probably saw Shea Coulee's outfit on RuPaul's Drag Race where they said, represent your hometown. And she wore like a Chicago hot dog hat. So you've got on the hot dog, you've got like mustard, relish, celery, salt, you know, a sport, pepper, and tomato. I think I got everything, right? Does that sound right?
Did you get the pickle?
And the cucumber.
The pickle. pickle. Well, the relish.
I couldn't remember.
It has relish.
I lost track.
Okay. Anyway, and so it's on a bun. And the one thing that they say you don't put on a Chicago hot dog is...
Ketchup.
You know, because a lot of places in the world they do that.
Disgusting.
Is it disgusting? You don't like ketchup?
It tastes like vomit. Well, sweet vomit. Sweet tomatoey vomit.
Do you eat ketchup on anything?
I don't like it.
No?
I like it on eggs. I like it on potatoes. How do you eat French fries?
How do you eat French fries?
You monster.
Yeah, just plain Amish style.
So anyway, Heinz Ketchup was trolling Chicago, and they've repackaged ketchup as dog sauce. So it doesn't say ketchup on there, and they're actually at a couple of locations. They're giving out free hot dogs for National Hot Dog Day at a couple different places if you get it with ketchup.
No!
I'm sorry, not ketchup, dog sauce. And you can buy a bottle of dog sauce for $5 on the internet.
I got some dog sauce right here, baby.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But Chicago takes, they take, do you get Chicago hot dogs? Do you eat those or no?
Oh, yeah, I do.
And do you eat them like Chicago style?
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was a thing when I moved here in 95. They had served them at a restaurant, and I got a hot dog at the place, and I just had mustard on it, and this guy looked at me. He's like, what? And I'm like, what? He's just like, you're eating that with just mustard? I'm like, yeah. And he's just like... He thought I was crazy. I'm just like, what is this Chicago hot dog that you speak of? And he like described it. I'm like, I blew my mind. I was like, that's wild.
As Dr. Frankenfurter said in Rocky Horror Picture Show, don't get hot and flustered. Use a bit of mustard. Took me about 5 minutes while you guys were talking to dig it up.
So good.
Thank you.
You're a hot dog, but you better not try to hurt her.
Frankfurter.
You guys are on fire.
Thank you.
Baby, thank you. It's called Feast of Fun for a reason. Not Feast of Responsibility.
Do you have a particular brand of hot dog you like?
Anything that's charred.
Okay, you like a good charred dog.
She likes the ones that swell up when they get hot.
When they plump when you cook them.
What brand is that?
I think they're ballpark.
That's
hilarious.
Because hot dogs, depending on where you're from, like taste a lot different. Like here in Chicago, like everybody's like, it's all about Vienna beef, which I'm not a huge fan of. But the hot dogs where I come from, Erie, really taste good.
Yeah, I do like a good Hebrew National.
Okay, that's beef.
Right. Well, they're good.
Yeah,
because they're
no
kosher.
Pork in that.
Yeah, exactly. But they're good. I don't know what seasons they use, but. Seasonings.
Something. But they also say that what is it with hot dogs? It's kind of the same stuff that's in bacon that, say, gives you...
Nitrates.
Nitrates that give you, like, colon cancer if you char it. Especially if you char
them.
I know,
but it isn't.
Your
crispy.
Butt's
going
to be so rotten.
Well, no. I'm going to take those antioxidant pills. That'd be great.
You'll be fine. Just eat lots of fiber.
See?
Lots of fiber. Push all that cancer right out.
Can't we get along? Like, what is up with, like, you don't have no other cities in the world other than New York and Chicago who fight endlessly about our pizza and our hot dogs and our ice cream and all this.
Oh, is there an ice cream fight?
It's the Dairy Queen versus, what is the Chicago thing?
We still haven't been to Dairy Queen this season.
Let's go right now.
Yeah, I love Dairy Queen.
Go?
Yeah, let's go.
Thank you so much for listening to the show, everybody. We were going to talk about other shit, but there's ice cream.
Let me just talk about one more thing. So there's they interviewed on CNN, like all these Trump supporters.
Oh my God,
and they had one of them come on, and it was a female impersonator. And it would be like, I can't get it. I've lost all my friends, and I've lost all my jobs because I support Donald Trump. And I'm just like
a drag queen.
A drag queen, basically.
Who supports Trump.
Yeah, who supports Trump from Florida. And then I was just like, and then I recognized the name.
Katya Zamolochikova.
No. It's Elaine Lancaster, who she was in Mykonos a few years ago with Lady Bunny. And there was like some guy's car caught on fire and she rescued him. She's just like, your car is going to catch on because like she heard the clutch grinding or something like that. And I guess she pulled him out or something like that. She was the hero drag queen who saved a guy from like burning to death in a car. But now people are discovering that she likes Trump and is still supporting him at this point in time. And so she's lost gigs. And a lot of people that know her are just like, I wouldn't work with her anyway, whether she supported Trump or not. But I just think it's kind of interesting when these people kind of like lament supporting this president and then wonder why people, especially queer people, don't support them.
This is me at the buffet. This is me on vacation. This is me voting for Trump. This is me getting AIDS.
One of our top videos on YouTube, by the way, is Bianca Del Rio reading Lady Bunny on stage. Mm-hmm. And I filmed it because we were filming interviews with the drag queens from season 7, 8. For 8 with Bob the Drag Queen, and I was sitting on the footage, and I told Lady Bunny's like, this is really funny stuff. And she's like, well, why'd you put it up on the internet? Why haven't you done it yet? I was like, well, I don't know. It's just because I didn't have your permission. You can do it. Go ahead.
Put it up there. I want to see it.
And so we put it up, and it's huge.
It's blowing our top video of forced feminization out of the water.
330, almost 400,000 views.
Mm. Hell yeah.
Yeah. That's it's really good.
Mm-hmm. So this couple in Switzerland disappeared 75 years ago. They had 7 children. And
so they showed up again.
They did, actually.
They found them. They found them.
Yeah.
Don't talk anymore.
They went off to milk the cows, and I guess it was the first time the wife had actually done it, because she had been pregnant all these years because she had 7 kids. And then she's like, I'll go off with you and whatever. So they hiked up, and they never came back home. And they found them today. They found them 75 years later.
In great health.
They're no Captain America, but they were frozen in the glacier.
And like Captain America, they thawed them, and now they're fighting villains, right? Mm-hmm.
No, but there's some closure. But I guess the family is like very excited because they're like, you know, one of the kids is like 79.
Yeah.
And so they're like, after the parents never came home, the kids were off sent off to like foster care. And a lot of them didn't even end up growing up together, and they basically become strangers. But now they can actually have a funeral. They'd fallen into like a crevice in a glacier and just had gotten covered up. And now that thanks to global warming, the glacier is melting. And so the bodies were recovered.
See, not all bad.
What pose did they find them and they're like, or were they like fucking? That would have been like, at least you're going to go, you know, if you're going to freeze to death, freeze with his dick in your mouth or your pussy. Or,
somewhere. You know? Somewhere warm.
When people are wondering if that guy, you probably seen that picture around from that guy who was in Pompeii. Who looked like he's masturbating. He's jerking it off. It's like the world is coming to an end for him. But, you know, if you see the volcano erupting in the distance, it's like you're probably like, well, I'll try and get one more out before I go.
I love art history. Paleontology is finding dongs through time. And this is a penis from Pompeii. And this is a penis from Antarctica. And this is a penis from the caveman from France. And then they took their penises and they put it on the cave paintings. They rolled them in paint. The first paintbrush was made with a penis. What's so funny? We want to remind folks that Feast of Fun is made possible because of you people. You're guilty of the crime. If you want to continue this lawless, decadent, debaucherous podcast that is Feast of Fun, we rely on your financial support to make it happen. So go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a one-time contribution. Or
become a Plus member at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes the show happen. I want to thank Jeffrey, who just recently signed up. You're the best.
Jeffrey!
Yay!
Yay. One of us.
Karma, people can find you on the Facebook.
They sure can. Yeah. And Twitter sometimes, and sometimes Instagram. I got a new phone, and I got to put these apps all back on my phone. I haven't been doing jack shit in a minute, but
they can. You're on the Karma Summer Special.
Yes.
You know, just relaxing.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Enjoying the life.
Yeah, chilling, maxing around.
There's new emojis coming out this year.
Yay. Ooh.
It's going to be your head's going to blow, like your mind's blown, and it's a nuclear bomb in your head.
Head exploding.
There's a vomiting. There's a crazy emoji. More crazy emojis. Mm. I'm starstruck.
I like that one.
There's a woman breastfeeding a baby, and you can make her like black or Latino or white.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a emoji that looks like
what,
Mark.
What are you going to use that emoji for the breastfeeding one? Like
suck on my tits, bitch.
Oh.
You know, like that.
Mm, tastes good.
I like it. Okay. Yeah.
Looks delicious.
There's a woman in a hijab, you know, the wrapping her head around. Mm-hmm. There's a person doing yoga. It looks like a man or a woman. It's not sure. And there's a zebra, an elf, zombie, and a T-Rex.
Cool.
Yeah. That's great. That's how they get all the people to update. I guess the Internet Consortium every so often comes up with new emojis.
Yeah. They're like, people need to get on.
We need a T-Rex.
We need a T-Rex.
Well, eventually, will everything be an emoji?
Well, that's what I call Chinese.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
Chinese is a language.
Picture drawing.
Yeah. Pictographs.
Yeah. That's the word. Pictographs.
Is that it?
It sounds like it.
You know?
Yeah.
Chinese,
what would
Japanese?
Your pictograph for karma be?
I don't know. I have to think about
an ice cream.
What is the emoji that represents you?
Yeah. Weigh in, people. Go to feastofun.com.
Karma swallow out of ideas.
Subscribe.
Share it on Facebook.
Hit like on it if you like it. If you don't, then tell us how much we suck. And we'll cry and get sad and then go, tomorrow's another podcast.
Yeah.
You're only as good as your last podcast. That's really, you know, ultimately.
That's ultimately it. That's it.
And then they forget everything. They're like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Yeah, that's so good.
It was so good. You're so awesome. Yeah. Fuck Trump. Dump Trump.
Yep.
Everybody, have a great week. What's happening tomorrow, Mark?
Tomorrow's Wednesday. Thursday. Lots of things. The sun will come up in the morning. It will set in the evening.
That's amazing, guys.
Wow. It's National Hot Dog Day.
Ooh. I'm getting mine with mustard. Thursdays.
Yeah, especially mustard. Good mustard.
I know.
Yes. I'm all over it.
Sit on those dogs, people.
Yes,
bye, everybody.
Bye.